So Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So, of course, we've read this chapter and verse before. We know that Jesus is asking the disciples, "What are people saying about me? What is the word? What is going out there? What is the consensus? Maybe what are people thinking? What is the general opinion about me?" I mean, the people were saying, some say you're a prophet, some say you're a man, some say you're a teacher, some say you're this. And then he asked them, "What do you say? What do you say about me? Who do you say that I am?" And then Peter has this revelation that he's Jesus the Christ, and he says it. And Jesus said he's blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal that to him. It wasn't the people, what the people said, or what the community was saying, or people had. He didn't say that he was a teacher or a prophet or just a man, but he had this revelation that he was Jesus the Christ. It wasn't just a man talking to them. And Simon Peter had this revelation that the revelation of who Jesus was. And Jesus says that upon that rock, that's the rock that he's going to build the entire church. That's the foundation of Christianity, is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That's the foundation. And that's why it's so important. Everyone welcome in. And that's why it's so important to have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. So, because that is the foundation of the entire church. It says, "Upon this rock will I build my church." And we know Brother Branham even talks about how the rock is the revelation. It's not Peter. It's not, it's not just a thought, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And some people believe that, it was always Peter. So what Peter taught that's why some people only read, certain books of the Bible, because they only believe that. They believe that Jesus said that, "Oh, it was Peter." So whatever Peter partook in or whatever Peter did in the Bible, that's all we pay attention to. But that's not the case. It's the revelation that Jesus built the rock on. So, and as we've been talking, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is the absolute. And that's what the new birth is. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. That's what the new birth is. And that's when you can become a Christian and start doing the things of the Lord and start, start growing as a Christian and learning new things and about God's word and getting a deeper revelation and getting closer to him and getting closer to being Christ-like and climbing up the stature of a perfect man and doing those things. So it's the revelation that we need. It's the revelation that is the rock. And as Brother Branham has been laying out in some sermons, it's what he calls the absolute. And it's because an absolute doesn't need anything else to exist. It doesn't need anything outside of itself to validate it or give it power. An absolute is an absolute. And if we all have the revelation of the absolute, then we'll have an anchor in life and we'll know what we believe and we'll know how to operate through life. Because when something comes up, we don't just throw our hands up and just, don't know what to do or look around different places. But we know that we can look right into the Bible and right into the Word, and then we can find our answers there. We can find what we need for our journey and for our trials and tribulations of life. We can all find it all in the Word and in the Bible and in what the prophet, brought to us. And we even know that he is a prophet based on the fact that the scriptures vindicate him, the fact that he always goes back to the scriptures, he always goes back to the Word, and that everything in the Word lines up with how we came, and we know about Malachi 4 and those things. So we wonder, we wonder things and have questions about things. we know we can go back to the word and that it won't let us down. So I'll read this quote from Brother Branham here from the Absolute. Once again, how many people have listened to an Absolute sermon? Just wondering. So still just Mercy. Well, I'd like if everyone listened to at least one. I think it would be good. Thank you, Mercy, for listening. And it would be beneficial to all of us. But the Absolute. Brother Branham says, you know, he's talking about the things that he has to say, and Brother Branham saying, you say, well, Brother Branham, you make people hate you. And he says, God will love me. That's my Absolute. Can't rest on an arm of flesh. You got to rest on the word. What God said, do. So Brother Branham knows that, you know, some things he says might make him unpopular. It might make him people, you know, maybe disregard his message even because what he's saying might sound harsh. But he's taking it from the Bible. He's taking it from the scriptures. And he's saying that it doesn't matter if people hate him, because God will love him, because God is the Absolute. So God is his Absolute. So once you have a revelation of Jesus Christ, you know, that's what's going to hold you through. That's what's going to, and notice the phrasing there, that's what's going to hold you through. It's not that, you know, you hold on to it. Even Brother Branham said that, you know, sometimes there was times where, you know, he was just weak in his flesh and he couldn't do things. And someone asked him, Brother Branham, how'd you hold on, you know, so long? And he said, I didn't hold on to my religion. My religion held on to me. And so it was that revelation, and it was God himself, you know, as his Absolute, was holding on to him and keeping him strong, you know. So sometimes we think we have to do things ourselves. And I really liked what Brother Aaron was saying Wednesday when he said, I wrote it down here, but Brother Aaron had a really good quote. Brother Aaron said, we've got perfect strength when we realize we can't do it ourselves. And we've got perfect, when we realize that we're insufficient, that's when we have perfect strength. And that's because we can't do it in ourselves. So when we're trying to do it ourselves, we're trying so hard, we're trying to do this, we're trying to live right, you know. And we should, but we have to realize that we can't all do it ourselves. You get perfect strength when you realize that you need God. That's really the sentiment of what he's saying there, is that when you realize that you're insufficient, that you need to call upon God and go and get God's strength, that's when you realize, okay, that's when you have perfect strength. That's when you transcend yourself, when you realize that you can't do it yourself, and you call upon a higher power. Even when we talk about the stature of a perfect man, and Brother Branham talks about, you know, the faith and the virtue and the knowledge and things, and it's like, your faith is weak, but the faith that you obtain is God's faith. It's like, I believe, but it's because God has given me this belief. It's because God has, you know, it's the faith that he gave me. Because if it's my faith, then it's going to be weak, and it's going to doubt, and it's going to wander off. But if it's God's faith, it'll stay true. And Brother Branham uses that, or even love, the way that God loves, agape love. He loves everyone indiscriminately. It doesn't matter if they're tall, short, fat, skinny. It doesn't matter what they are, what they look like, if they're ugly, handsome. God loves everyone indiscriminately. And we as humans, we can't love people like that. We're not capable of that. But if we just take on God's love, that's when we can realize, like, okay, that's when we can become perfect. Because if I, as a human, try to love everyone, you know, indiscriminately, well, think about, you know, your family members, like, or even you have friends that you maybe value more than others. And it's not necessarily bad, but it's human nature that we have people that we favor over others. So even though we're Christians and we're supposed to love everyone equally the way God does, we in ourselves, you know, we can't do it. But once we realize that we can't do it, then we can call upon God's strength and God's love, and then that allows us to love everyone. It's not that, you know, we can love everyone equally, because maybe Adam loves Levi more than he loves Tommy's, and maybe Mercy loves her dad more than she loves Kaylee's dad. But that's just human. But in God's love, if we take on God's love, then we'll love everyone as much as we love our favorite person, as much as we just love everyone the same. And we can't do that in ourselves, but once we realize we can't do that in ourselves, we call upon God, and he, you know, gives us the strength to do those things. So we have to come to that realization that we're insufficient. And then that's when we become perfect. Because those who exalt themselves are abased, but those who are humble, those who are meek shall inherit the earth. And that's what the scriptures say. So we have to realize where we are and realize that, you know, we're insufficient. And then we take on God's love and God's strength. And that's how we love people, not with our own love. That's fickle and weak, but with God's love, when we take on the armor of God, we take on the Spirit of God, when we become Christ-like, and we attain godliness and brotherly kindness and those things. It's not our own virtue, but it's God's virtue, and that's really when you realize, you know, that you're nothing without God. It's like the song says, "Without God, I could do nothing. I'd surely fail. I'd just be, you know, out there like a ship without a sail, and there'd be no, you know, repercussions for me, there'd be no hope. There'd be no hope for me. So there'd be no redemption without God. So we need that God. We need the absolute, and that's why Brother Branham is so. That's why Brother Branham can stay so sure, is because he knows that no matter what, God is his absolute. The revelation that he has of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to carry him through anything, because he knows that that's more important than anything else in this life, is the revelation of Jesus Christ and knowing who that God is. And sometimes we wonder, like, how can we get in the mind of God? How can we, you know, get to those things, and how can we obtain those things? And it's by staying with the Word, you know, you're always insufficient. Don't ever try to do it yourself. Just realize that you need God. Because even Brother Branham says, you know, this is my eye, but God gave it to me. So even my eye, even my physical being, my physical body, there's nothing that I have that God didn't give to me. So we couldn't even create ourselves. We have to have a God, someone higher than us to create us. And that's also how we obtain the love, because it's not our love, it's not our virtue, our faith, or knowledge, but it's God's. It's God's love, faith, knowledge, virtue, patience. You know, a lot of people struggle with patience or temperance, but it has to be God's temperance. It has to be God's patience. And that's when, you know, you get, like the scripture says, the peace that passeth all understanding. That's when you really get to that place, is when you realize that when you let God come in and do the work in you, and you give him the glory for everything he's done in your life. So, and that's why Brother Branham is so confident here. And he's just, even if the whole world hates him, he's been given this, you know, and he has to say this because that's what God put on his heart to say. And he says, God will love me. If everyone else hates me, he says, God will love me. He said, that's my absolute. Can't rest on an arm of flesh. You've got to rest on the Word, what God said do. And he said, you can't rest on an arm of flesh, which is exactly what's going on in Matthew 16. Who do men say that I am? That's flesh. Who do men? What are people saying? What are people saying on the streets, in the temples, in the excuse me, what's going out there? And that's, you know, he's saying people were saying this, people were saying that, but he's not relying. Peter answers, but he's not relying on that answer. He's not relying on the things of the flesh. He's not relying on flesh for those things. And then when he finally does give his answer that he's like the Christ, the Son of the Living God, it wasn't flesh that revealed him to him. And that's why God said he was blessed, because it wasn't an intellectual understanding. It was a revelation that he had. So that's why God was saying, blessed art thou, because flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. You know, and even sometimes, I'll go on with the quote. So just remember, you can't rest in the arm of flesh. You have to go with what God says to do. And Brother Ram continues to say, how did Micaiah know he was right? He waited. He had a vision. They had a vision too, but the vision didn't compare with the Word. And today the same thing. Micaiah compared his vision with the Word, and then he seen he and the Word was together. Today, if your vision is contrary to the Word, leave it alone, because it's the wrong absolute. So Brother Bam's talking about a story in the Bible where Micaiah had a vision, and, you know, and other people were having visions, but Micaiah's vision lined up with the Word. So that's why he had to say his vision, and he had to believe in it and stand on it, because it says he had a vision, they had a vision too. So they both had visions, but the vision didn't compare with the Word. So things can happen, and you can both have a revelation. You know, I could say I have a revelation of this, and I have a revelation of that, and someone else has a different revelation. So how do we know whose revelation is correct? Well, that's why they have the Word, the Bible right here. It all the scriptures are laid out here. So if I have a revelation that I'm supposed to do something or be with something or with someone or whatever's going on, and the Word is against that, then, you know, that's, then we know which vision is correct. Because you can't have a vision saying, well, I have this revelation that, you know, I'm supposed to have three wives, and it's like, the Bible does not, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says you're supposed to have three wives. Even the people in the Bible who had multiple wives, God had clearly condemned them and told them not to do those things. And so even in marriage and divorce is preached, Brother Branham says, it was not so in the beginning. You know, and even Jesus says that when he's tempted by the Pharisees, I believe it was, he says it wasn't so in the beginning. In the beginning, it was not so. So these things of people having their own ideas as opposed to just going to the Word and seeing what the Word says. So it's about comparing your vision or your revelation with the Word. And if it doesn't match up with the Word, then it's not of God, and abandon it. But the concept of visions, of people having visions, that, like Brother Branham says, but the vision didn't compare with the Word, and today the same thing. So just us have, so the vision, so you may not have like a literal vision, but you have a vision like in your mind of maybe of what you want to do with your life, or what you want to do after you graduate, or whatever is happening, or you have a vision of I want to be this type of athlete, or I have a vision of I want to be this type of scholar, or I have a vision of, you know, doing something that you might think is great. But if that vision doesn't line up with, you know, if that vision interferes with your relationship with the Lord, then you need to reconsider it and make sure that, you know, that God is with you in what you're doing. Because, you know, the Bible even says, a lot of people will claim, there's always people saying, oh, well, God is with me in this and God is with me in that. And there's many, you know, many things where people invoke the name of God in what they're doing. And if you look at the Word, it doesn't line up with it. That's why the Bible says, you know, not everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, enter into the kingdom of heaven, because not everyone who's claiming that they have God on their side actually does. So there's plenty of people who will say, Lord, Lord, and they'll say these things, and they'll say, I'm doing this in the name of God, or I'm doing that, or there's many wars that have been fought, you know, and then supposedly in the name of God, but you know, it doesn't line up with the Word. So you always have to consider the Word. You can't just invoke the name of God and say, oh, well, this is of God, and you have to actually, there's actually a rule book, there's actually a book we refer to, that we go back to, and that's why not all who cry, Lord, Lord, shall enter into heaven, because it's not just, if you say it, it's true. You have to line it up with the Word. So you can have your own vision, you can have your own interpretation of things, you can have your own ideas and thoughts and imaginations and desires, but you always have to make sure it lines up with the Word, or it's going to lead you astray. That's why the Bible says, if you build a house, forget what it says. I think it says you build a house without the Lord's consideration, that, you know, they labor in vain that build it. I forget the exact verse, but it says that if you don't consider the Lord in the things you do, then it's going to be in vain, basically. So you have to consider the Lord and make sure that it's the Lord's will. Because if you don't have the Lord's protection, it doesn't matter how strong your walls are, or how strong your defenses are, it's all going to crumble. Because, you know, the only thing that's going to survive is God's word. So if you stay with that, then you'll be good on everything else. So make sure but when you have a vision or you have an idea or you have a desire within yourself, make sure you check it back with the Word and make sure that vision is of the Word and not just something that you're thinking up or imagining, or, you know, because the Bible even says the heart is deceitful above all else. So whenever you have a desire in your heart, or you really feel like you want to do something, you know, your heart could be deceiving you. You can't always trust your heart. You have to trust the Word of God more than anything else. And that's why you have to have that absolute, because the Word of God is the absolute. So once you have that absolute, once you have your rule book, once you have your guidebook, you know, it's that's what we should look to. You know, sometimes I think about when you look at people who are really curious about things and how they find something and they just want to learn more about the world, and they want to learn like how this bug, like what season that bug, you know, lays eggs, or what the atmosphere would be like if we live on a different planet, or just different things, like things that people are curious about. Like, they want information and knowledge, and they want so much, and they're so hungry for knowledge and history and things like that. But we could have that same hunger and desire for, you know, the word, like the world we live in. You know, if there was a book that had all the answers to everything in life, we would want to read that book so much. And then here it is, and then we, well, I'll do it another time, or oh, well, I'll have time for that later, or I want to go outside right now and do something else, or, and we just push it off, and really the secrets to life are in this book, and we're not reading it nearly as often as we should be. So I'd like to encourage you to read the scriptures, and, you know, and stick to the absolute. And Brother Brandon continues to say, Micaiah's absolute was exactly with the word. So he could stand and say what he said and believe it. So regardless of the visions other people had, he had a vision, and other people had visions. And, you know, if you don't have an absolute, that might be confusing to you, because you're like, he had a vision, he had a vision, he had a vision. So if they're all supernatural visions, then, like, what, you know, what differentiates them? Why are they different? Which one is going to win in the end? And Micaiah didn't have that question. He didn't have that worry. Maybe the other men had that worry that, is my vision correct? Is can I really just tell people this vision and be confident in it? But Micaiah didn't have that problem, because he knew his vision lined up exactly with the word. So he could stand on it. He you know, then this one Brother Brandon said, he could stand on it and believe it. So regardless of what other people thought, what other people had in mind, the ideas they had, what visions they had, even, he could always stand on the word. He could always stand with what he believed. And he never had to question it, doubt it, or anything like that. So whatever vision you have for your life, for your future, for maybe for you like playing something, or who you're going to be married, or what you want your life to be, if you're going to have kids or not, whatever the vision is, remember to always consider God in everything you do, or else it'll be in vain. And always stick to your absolute. And if you don't have an absolute, make sure you get that absolute. Make sure you get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Because once you get a revelation of who he is, you're going to want to follow him. You're going to want an absolute. You're going to want to search the scriptures. You're going to want to grow more in Christ. So God bless you. You're dismissed.